It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
And now, here's the star of the segment, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Oh, it is so great to be back on. Thank you very much.
I know we just make your week, man.
Is it Thanksgiving yet?
Almost.
We're getting there. We're crawling toward the turkey time.
Yes.
And, of course, that means we're near the end of the season, and that means that we're keeping an eye on college football playoffs. Mm-hmm. Some Alabama fans seem to be a little outraged with the rankings right now, Dalton.
Yeah, they are, among others. And then, of course, with rivalry week going hand-in-hand with Thanksgiving, we know that right now Lane Kiffin is only thinking about the Egg Bowl. That's mm-hmm. the only thing that's on his mind, right, Paul?
That's true. That's why his family visited Gainesville and Baton Rouge this week. By the way, nothing against anywhere, but I mean, those are not exactly the two top cities I want to go look for a honeymoon site at.
I've heard you in the past, this might have been like 20 years ago, you used to just, you would bludgeon Baton Rouge. That was some of your finest work back in the day, Paul.
Well, I used to work with Marcus Spears on the SEC show.
Yeah.
And he once said, "Hey, man, did you actually call Baton Rouge a toxic waste dump?" I said, "No, Marcus, you must have gotten that wrong." That's my hometown. I said, "I'm really sorry to hear that."
So, hey, Marcus, don't check the tape from 2001. Maybe I said something like that.
I mean, have you guys, a lot of people haven't had the honor of flying into Baton Rouge, but when you fly in there, you literally fly over all these oil refineries that dump waste into the river, the Mississippi River.
Mm. That's pretty sad.
Have any of those big dudes tried to get physical with you, Paul, before? I mean, Marcus seems like a very nice guy, but you've upset some big linemen over the years, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's why I usually always walk right behind Tebow when I'm on the Saturday show.
He's a good one to stand behind.
Yeah.
Your take on Kiffin, I mean, it's like copy and repeat every single year we go through this, and I'd be lying if I said I was sick of it, but Ole Miss has to be sick of it, and that kind of started coming out this week.
Well, it's one thing for you to look around, but by the way, he's very familiar with LSU in Florida. He's played at those sites many, many times. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that he legitimately put his family on a private plane to go down there and look at schools and homes and where his son Knox, who's a good quarterback, would be able to play. I mean, and at the same time, never denying that he's leaving Ole Miss. Or never committing to staying at Ole Miss, I think is really the most ridiculous part of it.
And is his ex, and I don't want to get too personal in all this, but his ex-wife is playing a role in all this too. How, I mean, what's going on there? She is, after all, his ex-wife,
but she has the kids, or okay. They have
the
kids.
Well, and I know this sounds like we're on TMZ here, but this is true. She is his ex-wife. But now she's back in Oxford with the family, and it's even possible that they're
gonna
together
work,
again.
Work it out. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So that's why she's playing a much bigger. It was easier to deal with her when she was out on the beach in Malibu, but now she's in Mississippi now.
I got it. I read you loud and clear.
Oh, let's talk quickly about some of the games from last week and then get into really not a appetizing slate this weekend, but we've seen good games on weekends where we don't expect good games.
That's
but
not this weekend.
Maybe not this weekend. Bama's lost to OU, and it happened in Tuscaloosa. Mm. OU's kind of making a habit this year of going on the road and winning big games.
Yeah, I mean, this is when you can back up a win at Neyland with a win at Bryan Denny, you've had a good year, and you've also saved your job. If you go back about 5 weeks when Brent Venables lost to Ole Miss at home, it looked like that was his second loss with the games I just mentioned ahead. He was looking like the unemployment line, and right now he's looking at like the playoffs. So it's been a remarkable comeback. And you know, I was in Athens last weekend, and somebody, I think it was Roman Harper, said to Georgia fans, you guys have an Alabama problem. This is before the game. I said, Roman, you Alabama folks maybe about to have an Oklahoma problem.
Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, I mean, you got to give Oklahoma credit. They won those two road games. That's not a template you want to necessarily depend on. I mean, they got way outgained by both Tennessee and Alabama. Now, they did force turnovers, and that was, you know, good on them. But when you're asking the other team to kind of hand you the game twice, I mean, that's essentially not that there wasn't effort put into their game plan, but that's essentially what happened. Both Alabama and Tennessee kind of gave the games away.
No, I mean, at times this year, it looks like Hugh Freeze is calling the plays for Oklahoma. I mean, they cannot gain anything. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that defense is so good that they've been able to overcome absolutely almost everything.
It's been impressive to see them here recently. Georgia has also been really impressive. Every week we go further into the season, they just look more and more buttoned up. And Kirby going for it a couple times really seemed to turn the game on its head, and by the end of it, it looked like Georgia had a really dominant win.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty close to the best team in the league right now, and it's just aggressive, and you know, they were very awkward to begin the season with, but Gunnar Stockton's coming to his own, and the defense has made up for a lot of its early deficiencies. I think they are the most dangerous team right now.
Yeah, they were kind of, I mean, early in the season, they were almost like a dog. Would you please adopt this dog? Mm-hmm. You know, Georgia
right.
fans, we were looking at that team like, it might not, you know, I mean, they're a scrappy little bunch, but they might not be the most, and they're not the most talented, but they certainly are beginning to show they're some of these younger players, Paul. I think that's part of it, is these younger players who hadn't seen the field early in the season, or when they did, they didn't play particularly well. They're starting to kind of, their talent is beginning to show.
Yeah, and I just think they've coalesced around Gunnar Stockton, who, you know, Georgia fans were harassing me the other day. Well, how come he's not in the Heisman race? Well, because he's really not that good. I didn't want to say that out loud. but he's played well, and that was just a classic case where also Arch Manning's receivers did him no favors in the first half. I mean, he threw some great passes, and they couldn't catch, and that – by the way, that will ultimately catch up with you.
No kidding.
Sure enough. And then just one more I wanted to talk about last week. Is there any fear in Aggie land? I mean, they're undefeated, of course. So
well, you fear the police officer in the corner.
You do. Up the tunnel, you got to watch out for him. But what a comeback, and embarrassing for Beamer, but four straight touchdowns in the second half, and A&M pulls it out.
I think when you can do that, you don't really worry about it. Again, people listening can relate to this because we've all been at Auburn or Alabama. I mean, these 11 o'clock kickoffs, just people hate, especially when you're playing a bad team. And I just think they couldn't do anything right. And then they realized at halftime, hey, you are about to lose a game to one of the worst teams in the league. And they did nothing wrong. So I'm going to concentrate on the second half more than the first half.
Yeah, one thing about that game, too, I mean, Paul, let's face it, you tell me, isn't Shane Beamer about the least emotionally equipped SEC coach to deal with something like that?
A big lead?
And it happened? Yeah, I mean, what he had to face the press after that, and Beamer always seems to be this close to being unhinged anyway.
Yeah, and he had a really good thing going for a long time. Every time that he rose in South Carolina, he could leak a story that he might go back and take his father's old job at Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Well, he can't say that anymore because they hired James Franklin this week. So South Carolina is stuck with him, and quite frankly, they're not all that happy to be stuck with him.
Wow.
So looking forward to this week. We do have a top 25 matchup, and we'll see if the Sooners can keep the magic rolling, but they're back at home and Missouri coming to them. Anything interesting you're seeing or expecting out of this game?
Seems like Missouri loses every week, but they're still in the top 25. I don't understand that.
Yeah, they have their schedule got tougher, and they went down. And, of course, the quarterback went down, too. That was a tough loss for them.
I mean, they're good. They're just I think, you know, all these rumors about Eli Drinkwitz, and he gave the answer to the other day, well, yeah, we're really happy. Are you kidding? I mean, he's out there during the week, like, checking, like, which job is open next. And he will not be at Missouri next year. He'll be at one of the – whatever job Lane Kiffin doesn't take, Drinkwitz will be at.
Wow.
Well, how do you see – what's the – in the end, you've got Drinkwitz, you've got Lane, you know, Franklin's already taken a job.
Well, Summerall's a hot name.
Summerall's a hot name, maybe with Auburn. I mean, is it
Clark Lee's been mentioned, too, for Auburn.
Clark Lee. So what's how's this all going to break down? What do you? Who's going to end up where?
Well, I mean, most people believe Kiffin's either going to LSU or Florida. I'm more in the Florida camp, and there's no specific reason other than, you know, his ex-wife, whatever, you know, her father played there. There's a lot of connections to Florida. And, you know, would you want your boss to be the governor of the state of Louisiana? I think that's the question.
No, I would not.
That's a good point. I've been asked a bunch this week, what do you expect out of the Florida-Tennessee game as a Vols fan? And I've told everyone, I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because of Florida. I mean, how could you put a thumb on how they're going to play any week? Last week they showed some fight against Ole Miss after getting stomped by Kentucky.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen in Gainesville this weekend?
So I'm glad you mentioned it, because everybody goes, this is a terrible weekend. The reason why it's a terrible weekend is because of that game. That game was supposed to be one of the bigger games of the year. They put it this weekend. As we all know, that game's always in September. And they were trying to beef up the final weekend before rivalry weekend, and it just didn't work. That game is about as uninteresting. But it still has to be played, and I don't think there is an easy answer, because Tennessee has been wayward. I still have to favor Tennessee, but it's hard to trust Florida. You don't know what they're going to do. They show up, then they fade away. They're kind of in every other week. Well, Tennessee isn't great, but they're also pretty consistent.
Yeah, and you know, so I was surprised, Paul, and I guess you're right. That game was set up from the beginning to be the game, because it's the ABC primetime matchup. It's like they haven't backed down from that. They're keeping it as the like the number one broadcast on the network that this weekend.
Your choice is this. Yeah, do you want Arkansas, Texas?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Do you want Vandy, Kentucky? No. And the other game is Missouri and Oklahoma, which is, you know, it's a perfect 11 o'clock kickoff game. So, yeah, I mean, they had no choice. I'm sure when Fowler and Herbstree got the assignment, they go, how are we stuck going to the Tennessee-Florida game? But they're going.
I think the problem is they're all perfect 11 o'clock kickoffs, including Tennessee-Florida.
Some of those games are more like 9:15 a.m. kickoffs.
Well, Paul, next time we talk week, we'll be gearing up for rivalry games in the Iron Bowl. Of course, the Iron Bowl, very popular with politicians, but you'll be there anyway, I'm sure.
Well, hey, hold on. Why did you say that to me?
I just mean, as we get ready for, you know, everything that's coming, it's a good place to kind of see who all's there and who's in the mix.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah, I will be outside handing out pamphlets in case you're worried.
Can't wait. Hey, Paul, thanks for your time today, and have a great weekend.
My pleasure. See you next week.
Paul Feinbaum, Feinbaum Show, 2 to 6.
Stirring the stuff
there,
Dio. I think
I upset him there. Oh, man, he sounded so angry. I don't think so. No. I don't know if you can make Paul Feinbaum truly angry.
Yeah, every now and then one of the callers will. Mm. But he just keeps his composure. And as far as that Senate talk, all we know is it's not going away, is it?
No, it's not. And we're not going away either.
No.
Got more to do.
Some of you wish.
Bryant Bank, thank you so much for bringing us Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum. Heading towards the end of the season here. More Mobile Mornings on the way next.